The Stepping Stones to Work program offers first aid, CPR training, safe food handling, workplace hazardous materials information system training, as well as employment readiness workshops. Training is offered year-round. For more information and to find out if you are eligible, please phone 204-202-6932, extension 106. That's 204-202-6932, extension 106. The West End Resource Center is located at 832 Ellis Avenue at Arlington.
What do you read, my lord?
Words.
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 Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world. So good morning and welcome to the show. I hope you'll enjoy what I have for you today. So I'll be talking about two books and playing a little bit of African, or I guess Indian music most likely. And so I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the show. So I'll start with the news here. According to Global News, yesterday, January 27th, the Manitoba government announced that it is expanding its border security with the addition of provincial conservation officers patrolling the boundary. The officers, who will supplement the work of the RCMP at the U.S. border, are based out of Boisevain, Manitou, Sprague, Steinbach, Winnipeg, and Verdun. Last week, the RCMP began patrolling the border in helicopters to target illegal immigration from the United States. And according to CBC News, yesterday on January 27th, 56 survivors of the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland, together with world leaders and members of European royalty, met at the site of the former camp yesterday to mark the 80th anniversary of the prisoners' liberation. During the German occupation of Poland, Nazi forces killed 1.1 million people at the site, including Jews, Poles, Roma, Soviet prisoners of war, and others. Since the 75th anniversary event 5 years ago, many of the camp survivors have died, and organizers speculate that this might be the last gathering of its kind. So that's the news for today. And then the weather from the Winnipeg-Richardson International Airport for Tuesday, January 28th. It's currently minus 2, and there's drifting snow. And the forecast for today is 2 degrees with a chance of flurries and or rain showers, and tonight minus 11 with a 60% chance of flurries. For Wednesday, January 29th, it will be minus 3 with a 30% chance of flurries, and overnight minus 3 with periods of snow. Then for Thursday, January 30th, 0 degrees and sunny, and overnight minus 14 with cloudy periods. For Friday, January 31st, minus 9 degrees and cloudy, then overnight minus 9 degrees with a 60% chance of flurries. Then for Saturday, February 1st, minus 1 with flurries during the day, and overnight minus 13 with a 60% chance of flurries. So that's the weather for the next few days. And then in events, the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation has a book launch on Friday, January 31st, 2025, at 7 p.m. at Grant Park in the atrium, McNally Robinson. And it's also streaming on YouTube. So it says, join Susan Algie of the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation for the launch of Winnipeg Places and Spaces. It will be hosted live in the atrium of McNally Robinson, as I mentioned, and also available as a YouTube stream. Winnipeg Places and Spaces is the first comprehensive guidebook to the architecture and landscapes of Winnipeg. Explore the rich variety of buildings and neighborhoods within the city, from the modest to the monumental. This highly illustrated book reflects research undertaken by the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation since 1996. Edited by Susan Algie, the book includes research and writing by a number of Winnipeg historians and architects. And so that's one event. And then one that I've mentioned before is the Holy Family Parish at 1001 Grant Avenue, 1001 Grant Avenue, is having pierogi suppers. And one has already taken place, but it's on Fridays. And the next two are January 31st, so this Friday, and then February 28th. And it's from 5 to 7 p.m. A regular plate is $10, and that includes 6 pierogies. And a large plate is $15, which includes 10 pierogies. So those are a few of the events listed in... Or the first one wasn't listed in the guide, but... that was an event listed in the guide. If you would like to add your event to the guide, please drop by CQW, email us at cqw@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. So those are some of the news and events. And next, maybe I'll play a little bit of music. And this time I thought I would bring a CD from 10,000 Villages, which unfortunately isn't in Winnipeg anymore. But this is from an album called Putumayo World Music Fair Trade Sampler. And so this first piece is by, I hope I'll pronounce this correctly, Niraj Shag, featuring Swati Natakar from India and Khwab from India as well. So I think the title is Niraj Shag, and the artist is Swati Natakar. So I hope you'll enjoy this.
Thank you.
So welcome back. That was Niraj Shag from by Swati Natakar, and that's from Putumayu World Music. And so one of the books that I'm going to talk about today is about an African. And it's called I Am Because We Are, An African Mother's Fight for the Soul of a Nation. And this is by Chidiogo Akonyele Parr. And I'm sure I'm mispronouncing some of that. It's by House of Anansi Press. And it's 375 pages. So everyone has a backstory, a series of events that led to potentially life-changing choices. In I Am Because We Are, Chidiogo Akonyele Parr tells the story of her mother Dora's life as a Nigerian politician and activist working to combat the trade in fraudulent drugs, and finally as a dying woman in need of medical care. Throughout the story, the African principle of Ubuntu, which holds the importance of community over the individual, is the backdrop to the story. So it's written mainly in the first person, even though from the perspective of Dora Akonyele, and then from the daughter Chidiogo's perspective, although you discover at the end of the book that the mother had actually died before the book was written. And Dora Akonyele was, she was a pharmacist and worked with combating fraudulent drugs in actually mostly the medical trade. I guess in Nigeria and probably elsewhere in the world, people can make a lot of money by watering down drugs so that, for instance, Dora's sister was receiving treatment for cancer, for leukemia, and she was receiving the right drugs, but they had been watered down so that they were ineffective. And so then the daughter or the sister died of leukemia because of that. And so the problem is a major problem in Nigeria, but I'm sure it's happening elsewhere in the world. So the book deals partly with that, or many aspects of the kind of fraudulent drug trade, but the book also deals a lot with Dora's life and the positive and negative consequences of various decisions that people made. For instance, her parents decided to send her to live with her grandmother instead of looking after her themselves, which I think is a fairly common practice probably around the world, but in Africa it seems to be a fairly common practice when people have large families that they can't take care of. So even though some of these experiences living with her grandmother were hard, they helped to shape the person that she later became and shaped her idea of justice and freedom and some of those ideas. As she grew up, Dora realized that Nigeria is the source of many fraudulent drugs, so she decided to become a pharmacist so that she could help explore alternatives to contaminated or often weakened pharmaceuticals. Well, actually, her sister died of tainted insulin. And so she worked for many years with an organization called the National Agency for Food and Drug Administration in Nigeria, NAFDAC. Later, she gained government positions, and that brought death threats and an assassination attempt. Then as she aged, Dora found that she needed medical care and treatment in her struggle with cancer. And she comments on the lack of care that she received, and the low level of knowledge among many medical professionals. But throughout the book is also a strong thread of family and community. Her marriage was very much flawed, but Dora's relationships with her six children remained strong, even as the family dispersed to the United States and other parts of the world. Also, her connections with some of her siblings helped to give her strength in difficult times, including both successes and failures. So as I mentioned, the story includes Dora narrating her own life and death before the perspective shifts to the narrative of the youngest daughter, Chidiogo. The story also draws on the perspective of her siblings as well as the traditions of the Igbo tribe to which her family belonged and also her Christian faith. Chidiogo's narrative in the final chapters includes musings both on how the book came together and on her siblings' reactions to their mother's death. In accordance with her mother's wishes, the story is also about healing, both physical and emotional, that people need in the situations they encounter. So this book, I Am Because We Are, is a compelling story, especially for anyone interested in international politics and campaigns. Some of the mother's speeches are included in the book, giving readers a sense of the ideals that drove her. Even for readers who are not much interested in politics, the book is an engaging family story with enough twists and turns to keep people motivated to continue to the last page. So it's a very interesting book that people might want to pick up. And about the author, Chidiogo Akunyili Parr is currently based in Toronto, where she works as a writer, consultant, and speaker. She is also the founder of the community organization She Roars, which is dedicated to helping women of color achieve their objectives. And much of her work revolves around the principle of Ubuntu, as I mentioned, which is the idea that the community is more important than the individual, or the community can support the individual, so working with the community is very important. Then, as you can tell from the book, Dora Akunyili was very determined and she was reluctant to give up. And there's another book. Excuse me. There's another book about not giving up. It's even in the title. This is called Manifesto on Never Giving Up by Bernadine Evaristo. That's published by Grove Press and is 224 pages. So each person's life is a result of a variety of influences, including family life, careers, and friendships that can change the choices they make, or they can leave them relatively unaltered. For Bernadine Evaristo, both positive and negative life experiences have led to her new outlook on life. In Manifesto on Never Giving Up, she describes and evaluates the importance of various influences on her choices in life and how they have led to a new recognition of both her family and the other people she has come to know over the years. So one of the important elements that she discusses is heritage and the part it plays in people's lives. So she begins her examination of how she got to where she is now by considering how her ancestors have influenced her choices and responses to the situations she has encountered. The book is divided into 7 sections with themes such as heritage and family, the people who have come and gone in her life, drama and community, language, education, transformation, activism, and more. So the author, Bernadine Evaristo, knows about being an outsider, since she was one from birth, being the daughter of an Irish mother and Nigerian father living in Britain. Her heritage and early family life had a profound influence on the direction she followed, including the contrasting parenting styles of her mother and father, and the challenges of being black in Britain. These and other experiences shaped the author's work, first in the field of theatre and later in the field of writing. Her father communicated very little of his Nigerian heritage to his children, but Evaristo grew up very much aware of the challenges of being part of 2 races in 2 very different communities. This mixture of cultures is reflected in the beginning of each chapter, which include a number translated into the number of the chapters translated into several languages, including Old English, Irish, Portuguese, and the father's mother tongue, Yoruba. So, as I mentioned, she worked in the theater, and her heritage played a large part in her work in that, and she found ways of supporting her community through the arts. Meanwhile, she moved through a series of relationships that sometimes helped and sometimes hindered her personal and professional development. One relationship especially was almost overwhelming, and in the end, Evaristo had to free herself from a domineering personality. Despite, or maybe because of these experiences, Bernardine Evaristo was able to find her writing voice and gain a better understanding of herself and the people around her. Over time, she gained a better appreciation of herself and the influences on her life. The book ends with Evaristo's personal manifesto for living among other people in society and for passing on knowledge to the next generation while acknowledging and remembering the people who came before us. So, to a large extent, this book is about the development of a writer's voice, but it's also about how people interact with the world and how they deal with questions of heritage and how exactly they deal with the people who went before them and who are coming after them. So the author encountered a variety of difficult and stressful situations, but the overall tone of the book is hopeful as she considers how far society has come, despite the work that still needs to be done. It's a very accessible book, making it a good choice for many readers. And about the author, Bernardine Evaristo won the Booker Prize for her national best-selling book, Girl, Women, Other, in addition to being a winner or finalist for awards such as the Women's Prize for Fiction. Her books include poetry, verse fiction, essays, literary criticism, and drama. Currently, she teaches creative writing at Brunel University in London, and she received the Order of the British Empire in 2020. So these books are about two women who used their background and their ideals and ideas to help change the world, at least change their part of the world. So we still have a lot of problems with drugs in the world, so the work that Dora Akonyili started still needs to be continued, not necessarily in terms of fraudulent drugs, but in terms of dealing with addictions and other issues like that. Then with the second book, Manifesto, it's a very inspiring book to look at from the perspective of dealing with the troubles in life, such as still dealing with the pandemic, even though it's largely over, and dealing with, I guess just before my program, there was a program about housing in Prince Edward Island and how hard it is for people to find affordable housing. So there are issues like that as well to deal with, but no one can deal with all of the issues at once. But if you choose an issue that's important to you and work with it and try to find a way to benefit society and help each other, that's a very good way of dealing with the world. So I'll just mention again, these two books were I Am Because We Are, An African Mother's Fight for the Soul of a Nation, by Chidiogo Akinyili Parr. That's Akunyili, and then hyphen Parr. And that's House of Anansi Press, and it's 375 pages. And then the second one is Manifesto on Never Giving Up by Bernardine Evaristo. And Bernardine is Bernardine, and Evaristo is Evaristo. So those were two books that you might want to look at if you need inspiration for working in society or helping out in various ways and trying to figure out how to deal with some of the problems that people are facing these days. So coming up next is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, but I'll play a few promos and other pieces like that and then end the program. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week for a discussion of some other books that I've read in the past or I'm reading now. So thank you very much and have a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Winnipeg and world, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.
Every season I worry about our lack of harvest. We just don't have enough land anymore since the company moved into our community.
It's true. They took over our land without our free, prior, and informed consent. This right protects us as an Indigenous community and mandates that no work is done within our lands without the company or government first informing us, consulting with us, and listening to us. So let's take action and hold this company accountable. For more information, visit culturalsurvival.org/consent.
Tune in to Groundswell Radio every Monday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. From integral serialism to post-minimalism to improvised electroacoustics and everything beyond and in between, Groundswell Radio opens your ears to the world of new music. Interviews with composers, rarely heard recordings, and so much more. Sit back and listen to something new and different on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Tune into On My Way Home, broadcast on CKUW 95.9 FM on Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Hosted by your host with the most, Justin Fuhr, On My Way Home is a show exploring music, lyrics, and literature. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll keep me in your heart for a while. On My Way Home, it's a drive-home show for when you're already home. Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in one great city of Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
CKUW 95.9 FM is the place for alternative viewpoints and perspectives, and we give priority play to local music. We're grassroots and homegrown.
The Wrench is the Winnipeg